Last year alone, Avista customers saved over 53 million kilowatt hours of energy by taking advantage of rebates from Avista. Like 15 cents a square foot for new attic insulation, $35 for installing a smart thermostat, or $2,300 for switching from electric to natural gas heat. And all that savings reduced carbon emissions by more than 18,000 tons. Way to save, everyone. Way to save. Find your way to save at avistautilities.com.
You are very welcome to Film and Art Speak, where host Tyler Wilson takes us on a celebration of Spokane area arts and entertainment with an emphasis on cinema. Catch up on theatrical releases, exclusive local showings, streaming recommendations, and various entertainment happenings around the Inland Northwest. Here's your host, Tyler Wilson.
Hi, welcome to the show. Today, we're talking about La La Land and some other things. With me...
We're talking about what?
La La Land?
La La Land.
What did I say?
I don't know. Sounded real mumbly.
La La Land.
La La Land.
And as well as some other things. And with Tyler today is me, Angela.
Hi, Angela. Hi. Thanks for being here. I have you on again because we've actually been through a couple of streaks of movies. We've seen some movies together.
We've been to the movie theater.
It hasn't happened as consistently. We have children, of course, but we've been doing it. That being said, I'm going to start the show talking about a couple movies that you haven't seen.
Tyler, why you gotta be like that?
Well, I want to talk about them a little bit, briefly.
Okay, go through it.
The first one is Manchester by the Sea.
I heard this was a really good movie.
Yep.
Starring...
Casey Affleck.
Who I love.
You do? Okay, that's good.
I think most people are now thinking that Casey Affleck outranks the Ben Affleck.
Whoa,
the crowd I run with...
Stop. First of all, Casey Affleck has some seedy history recently that came out.
You
might want to look into
Please
that.
Stop.
Second of all, Ben Affleck is the guy, right? He's the leading
man. He's a show off.
Yes, but that's part of the charm of the Ben Affleck, though,
Casey
right?
Casey Affleck is like your neighbor guy who's just like hot and...
He's hot? Really?
He's like,
you find Casey Affleck?
Oh, he's super hot.
He's gonna harass you now because that's what he does.
He's hot. Inattainable.
I don't mean that.
He's in like a hot attainable realm.
I think Ben, but listen, anyway, he's been riding the coattails of his brother Ben.
I'll let you talk about Manchester by the Sea.
Well, I mean, Ben Affleck has not had a great year in terms of being in Batman vs. Superman. His new movie is not getting the best reviews.
Yeah, thanks for making my point.
Yeah. he won the best picture thing just a couple of years ago, but
like
whatever.
Like 5 years ago, but
oh,
okay.
It's been like three. Maybe.
Argo.
Yeah, which is not even his best movie, but you get the point. Casey Affleck, on the other hand, to me, gives the best performance of anybody in a movie this year in Manchester by the Sea.
That's what I was telling
it
you.
It is an incredible performance. Now, that being said, I went to this movie without you, and I still feel like I made a good decision, because the subject matter is extremely tough.
I think everybody knows.
Well, now I don't want to go into the main really, really sad thing. The plot of the movie centers around Casey Affleck returning home to deal with his brother's death. His brother has died. It's played by Kyle Chandler in several flashbacks. But there's reasons why Casey Affleck has left the town, and there's even more sadness to be found. It's rough. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of the first hour is really just kind of the rote things you have to do when dealing with a funeral, dealing with a dead body, and it's just, the subject matter is incredibly grim. Now, having said that, it really knows how to play that against being so dreary and so awful. It's very funny in spots. It treats that as kind of matter of fact. It doesn't wallow in the death too much. And because it does that, I think it really gets at some really interesting things about grief and how people kind of react to it and how specifically these characters. The main part of the aspect of the story is Casey Affleck coming and kind of taking care of his brother's teenage son for a while and their relationship. And that performance is Lucas Hedges. And he, I think a lot of actors and a lot of directors, this is Kenneth Lonergan, this is the director and writer. I think a lot of people would make this character, this teenage character, brooding and just very teenager-y.
And like mopey and
right.
Like sassy and like, you don't know me.
And this movie doesn't do that. This movie is a very lived in. It feels more like a teenager than a lot of movies have really touched on. And it's also putting him through this tough experience, but they're not throwing all that awful, like, weeping. And it's a very smart characterization. And I think it does and same with Casey Affleck. You get a really great dynamic between the two of them, and it really pushes this whole movie. It's still a movie where you walk out of it, you're like, well, that was
that was sad.
2.5 hours of sadness, but it's excellent. It's there's a reason why it's getting all this award and critical attention. You should go see it. That's all I can say.
Unless apparently you shouldn't go see it because you're too sensitive to handle.
I didn't mean it that way. I think at the time, I think you should still watch it. I just think given when I went to the movie, maybe it was not the best timing. But for you anyway, at that time. Why? Plus, we didn't have a babysitter, so I had to go.
Okay.
The other movie I'll mention just real quickly is The Handmaiden. This is a pretty wild movie from the director of Old Boy, so it's a Korean film in Korean with in Japanese too. This is, I don't want to say too much about the plot about it because I think it's best going into it kind of not knowing really where it's going to go. I will say it's a little saucy.
What do you mean by saucy, Tyler?
There's some erotica of the sort in the film. It's part of it kind of involves these. Erotica literature that's being these characters. It's the director of Old Boy, so there's a lot of depraved things going on, but there's also kind of a really kind of new kind of dynamic that I haven't seen in any of his movies like this. And I still say, okay, yeah, if you're sensitive to nudity and things like that, maybe this is not the movie for you. But if you are, you know, into Old Boy, and chances are if you've seen like Old Boy, then you can probably handle what's in this movie. But
what if you haven't?
Well, then maybe try Old Boy out. I think that's on Netflix. Ugh. Don't watch the remake with Josh Brolin. Watch the actual original movie. But it's great. It's got lavish period detail. The production design is amazing. The cinematography is amazing. And then the plot has twists and turns that that you don't see coming, but also make sense. So I would just say seek that out. I think it comes out on Blu-ray, DVD stuff in February. But maybe you can still see it in a theater or two. I don't know. What?
Where'd you watch it?
I watched it in town, but it's gone now. So
you did?
Yeah, it was at the Magic Lantern for a little bit, and then yeah. Anyway, so that's The Handmaiden. Huh. You didn't see it.
I didn't. Thanks again for seeing more movies without me.
Right. Sorry. Great. But let's get into a movie that you did see.
I did see.
We saw La La Land, which is the movie that is getting, well, I would say it's probably safe to, you know, say that it's kind of the Oscar frontrunner right now, as of this recording. Lots of critical raves, lots of awards that have been heaped on it. So we knew that going in, obviously, that this was, I know that you knew I was excited about it.
I was excited about it.
I think this had a really great campaign, the advertising for it's been really strong.
Also, two people who everybody loves.
Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in this lavish, like, old-school musical, and it is, God, it's something else. What did you think about it?
I love Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at his, like, film career over the last 10 years.
Right.
Not so good. He's really grown, I think, in the last few years.
What were the ones that you felt like were bad?
I can't remember the names of them, but like I was like, Notebook? He was that was his
breakout.
Yeah, no, there were lots of ones before that. I was like, what? I haven't even seen this. Terrible.
I will say that he hasn't done a lot of, like, this year especially, he's done kind of two lighter-hearted films. He's been doing a lot of really heavy drama, and that's what he's been kind of known for. He did that Crazy Stupid Love movie also with Emma Stone, but meh. And you know, I guess you could say that Lars and the Real Girl is kind of funny, but you know, like, he's been doing, like, Drive and these kind of hard dramas where he's playing addicts and all these other things. This is, with this year, he's played in The Nice Guys, where it was, like, goofy Shane Black comedy, and then in La La Land, which is this musical that also has some funny elements to it. This mm-hmm. is definitely kind of the softer side of Ryan Gosling, mm-hmm. I feel like. And, man, I think this is his year, right? This is a great performance here. Great performance in The Nice Guys, too.
Yes. I fell in love with him.
You fell in love with him from The Nice Guys? Because he's a little bit of a...
He was so entertaining in that movie.
A doof in that movie.
Yes.
But La La Land, It's a simple story, really. We got an aspiring actress played by Emma Stone in Los Angeles. We have an aspiring kind of traditionalist jazz pianist in Ryan Gosling, and they meet in kind of a, not even necessarily meet cute. They actually kind of meet in a kind of, they're kind of mean to each other for a good half hour of this movie where they run at each other and they're not very nice to each other. And then it kind of obviously kind of builds into this romance that we would expect. But the difference being from this movie and any other romantic comedy is that we have these really big musical numbers kind of in the midst of this. The movie opens in kind of this single shot, like on the Los Angeles freeway, and it's just hundreds of extras doing this really big song and dance number, and it's incredible. The uninterrupted shot is, there's a couple cheats in there. It's not a true uninterrupted shot, but it has that effect. And man, I don't know about you, but when that production was over, I was just like, "Well, I'm hooked in this movie."
Yep, let's go. Here we go.
Like, it is just an incredible piece of just actual filmmaking. Damien Chazelle is the director. He made Whiplash from a couple years ago, which is also a very strong movie about music. That movie kind of does, that has an edge to it. That movie has more of an edge than I would say this one. This is definitely really going back. And when we say musical, it is not the kind of musicals that we've been seeing lately.
Compared to Mamma Mia.
Well, all the musicals we've had in recent years have just been adaptations of stage shows. So we've got a lot of those, and a lot of them aren't very good. And there's a lot of musical numbers in it. They're just regurgitating the songs from the theatrical show, right? And some of them are okay. Some of them are kind of just not very well directed. The difference with this La La Land is that it is definitely has that old school, like, it's song and dance. Like, there's more, like, there's really only like six songs in the movie, but then of singing songs, right? And then the rest of it is a lot of instrumental work. We have some dance numbers that are fairly elaborate and definitely are making callbacks to these old Hollywood musicals. And it's just something that we haven't seen in a movie theater in years. We haven't really gotten there. The only real different musical we've had was Moulin Rouge, which is doing something completely different and kinetic, and just, it's trying to be nothing that it was musicals of the past. This is very much like that's the kind of the cliche way of people describing it. It's a love letter to old Hollywood. It's a love letter to these musicals.
I just rolled my eyes so hard at you.
Well, that's what everybody is selling it on. But I want to get into in the second half of this conversation of why I think it kind of elevates even beyond that, and is it really is one of the best movies of the year for the reasons I think we'll talk about in the next half. So let's take a break, shall we?
Sounds great.
Need a sign, banner, or business cards for your business, who do you call? Hi, this is Kent Adams.
And Tom MacArthur from Business Talks. Kent and I call Instant Sign Factory for our signs, banners, business cards, and more.
Dave at Instant Sign Factory is our go-to guy for printing, and he always does excellent work for us.
Check them out online. They've got an all-new website, InstantSignFactory.com.
Tell them Kent and Tom from Business Talks sent you. Instant Sign Factory.
The stories and photos on the pages of Nostalgia magazine show glimpses of life in the Inland Northwest from years gone by. From home life, school days, and the workplace, you can relive a style of life that we all loved and cherished. Call today to subscribe, 443-3678, or visit us online at nostalgiamagazine.net. Nostalgia magazine, ageless stories, ageless photos.
Kids learn about money from their parents. They know whether you tend to save up for fun purchases or pull out the credit card when temptation strikes. Since they're learning from you, talk to your kids about using their money wisely. Start by admitting your own mistakes, talking about your family budget, and discussing the importance of sharing some of your money with causes that are important to you. There are general ways to help them become wise stewards of their own money. To learn more, go to stcumoney.org.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking La La Land. I'm Tyler.
Yes, they know. They just left for a little bit.
I'm reminding people.
I'm Angela.
Great, we're introducing ourselves.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Maybe someone was tuning out during the commercial. I don't know.
Okay.
Be nice.
All right.
So we were talking La La Land, and you rolled your eyes at this, and this is not my phrasing, but it is like this love letter to old Hollywood, right? And that's definitely what I feel like the first few musical numbers in this movie are doing, right? They are definitely giving you that vibe. There's a lot of you know, attention to detail of callbacks to these classic films, right? I think the movie does a lot of really just fascinating and just really smart things in the second half, where we go from, you know, it's to be expected that we see a romance between two people is going to somehow maybe disintegrate for a little while before there's a big, you know, corrective course, right? This movie does that in a different way, I think, though, and it really slows down. There's not a lot of big musical numbers, really, in the second half, not singing anyway. It's more instrumental, it's more solemn, it's got just a totally different kind of vibe to it, and I think it's kind of pushing against. It's definitely having kind of the modern aspect of it kind of pushing into that classic feel a little bit. Did you notice the shift as the movie went on? I don't know if I necessarily want to kind of reveal some of the big things that happen in the end. But
then what are we going to talk about?
Well, I think it just goes somewhere that's just not your typical way of ending these big sweeping romances, right? I think it tries to do something different in a way that's very visual and still adheres to, like, the ideas and what we love about movie musicals. I'm kind of thinking about really specifically the last 10-15 minutes of this movie. Mm-hmm. And there is, again, I don't want to get into too many details of it, but there's this really spectacular montage kind of style thing. And it's not even that. It's not even really that. It would be not even the right way to describe it. But it kind of recontextualizes everything that you've seen before in an just in a way that it makes you realize that every decision, as simple as it may be, as kind of like typical of the story we've seen, it reaffirms those choices in a way that just kind of makes the movie feel richer and like we've really been on an experience that's of real people, even though it's a big fantasy. Does that make any sense
to you? No, because if you haven't seen it, that is just jibber-jabber.
Well, my point is that I'm trying to make is that I think that it's not just... So I think it's dismissive to say that it's just this, like, homage, right? That we're just trying to copy something that we, as a society, and as Hollywood, used to love, right? Like, you know, we're the comparison, I think, is of that silent film that we put out and that won the Oscar a couple of years ago called The Artist, which was very much... similar kind of praise was heaped on that too. It's just like, oh, well, they're doing the thing that we used to love. This is like an old silent film. And we love that they're just like paying homage to the Hollywood tropes that we used to love, right? And I think that, you know, The Artist is fine enough, but to me, that movie felt more superficial. Whereas I definitely connected with this story, as simple as it may be, I connected with it more. It felt like a modern take on this story. It wasn't just this homage to another time. And I think that a lot of that work is done in the back half, and a lot of that work is done on the performances of Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. They are, you know, by all definitions, not like great singers.
No, they're just average singers.
They're not over singing this production. Yeah. They don't fix their audio. There's even a standout showcase scene for Emma Stone to do this big number, right? And it's still just, you know, it's still her voice. It's not overdone. Mm-hmm. There's more orchestration that goes on, and we get a lot of the sweeping score, which is great. But her performance is very down to earth, and so mm-hmm. is Ryan Gosling's. And even their dancing, which is, you know, I think I've heard some criticism of this, like, well, the music's not great and the dancing isn't great. I was like, but I mean, I would argue the music is great. I think every song is really strong, and I think that the orchestral music that really dominates it and that jazz score is really, really great. But I don't, to me, like the singing voices, the dance, to me that was a choice. Like, they're not as skilled because we're still kind of at this ground level, even though it's a fantasy.
Yes, I liked that it didn't sound like a Broadway production. It didn't sound like, what's her name, who's in those movies where she sings a lot? You know who I'm talking about.
What's her name, who's in those movies, yes, and sings a lot? Well, that could be anyone.
No, the young girl. The young girl? Who started in Broadway.
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah, so it's not like Anna Kendrick just belting it out because we know she grew up in Broadway and has a killer voice.
Does she grow up in Broadway?
Yeah, she started in Broadway.
Okay.
Boom, I know something you don't know.
I guess.
I like how there's a couple scenes where Emma Stone's sitting next to Ryan Gosling and they're like at the piano and she's out of tune or her voice cracks a little and it feels really natural and they just kind of laugh a little and it feels real. It doesn't feel like, oh, we have to go redo that. It's just by letting it have some of its flaws, it felt really realistic and easy to engage in.
Those parts of it really reminded me of the musical Once, which is kind of an interesting comparison or companion movie to this. Another movie where the singing is not necessarily, like, fixed. And even, incidentally, the La La Land soundtrack maintains that. It's the what you hear of the song City of Stars is the version that you hear them kind of fumble over in the movie. And it's great. And that's, like, why you remember that scene and remember that moment. To me, this was... what I found interesting was the first half, there's so much joy in how the movie's made. Damien Chazelle, if nothing else, even if you don't like this movie, I don't know how anyone could say that it's not impeccably made. It is just visually stunning. Everything has got this glowing, the colors are just popping off the screen. The dance numbers are energetic. The music is really lively. Even if jazz music is not really your thing, I think the movie makes a really strong argument of why jazz music can be great and how and the power of it. And that if nothing else, I mean, I think that the Ryan Gosling character, as rigid as he is in his ways, which is kind of a problem for their relationship and his career, but he does make a good argument about, like, what makes this music great. And it kind of proves that there is a place for this, I don't want to say, like, nostalgia, because I think that the movie's trying to get away from this idea that nostalgia is the way we look have to look at things. That there's a way to remix something, and there's a way to approach it with kind of new love, almost. And I just, yeah, for the first half, I just was, everything on the, every scene to me was just joyous. These big numbers, I did not feel happier in a movie this year during that stuff, right? And then to be rewarded in the second half with something that was kind of, like, character-wise really driven and really strong and not where I was expecting it to go from that first half, but still being rewarded by it and still feeling like you came out of this thing, both joyous, but also just like, this feels like a real relationship. This feels like I think this movie has something to say, which I think a lot of other criticism, and when I say criticism, I want to be clear, like, the movie's gotten rave reviews and a lot of people have loved it. It's just that when you become, like, the Oscar front runner, there's this backlash that starts, right? And we start kind of dogging on something that everybody loves, right? And I've seen a lot of, already it's happening, and to the point where maybe it's peaked too early and maybe it will not win Best Picture. But I mean, not that the best movie ever always wins Best Picture anyway, but we start, you know, you start seeing these criticism, and some of them just don't make sense. I had read one that was complaining about Ryan Gosling's, like, face during dance sequences, which is just an absurd, like, you're kind of missing the broader picture of the movie if you're honing in on individual, I think, choices. Especially when I would argue that they're making these choices that they're not, like, the greatest dancers or the greatest singers. They are chosen for a reason. How did you feel like with the walking out of it? And
I felt like the ending, which you don't want to spoil, is what completely makes this movie. Because if the ending would have had the happy fairy tale ending,
right,
which it doesn't. Oh, spoiler alert. I think it would have been more forgettable.
Yeah.
But I think the way it ended, it was still a happy ending, and the characters were where they needed to be, and it was a good thing, but there's just a little bump that's both, like, really satisfying and kind of horribly devastating.
Yeah, and you're tiptoeing around it a little bit, and I think we should still tiptoe around it. I don't think it does end in just not the normal romance way, and it feels more earned, right? And that's where I think the movie has something to say, more than just, like, saying that, oh, musicals are great, and L.A., and the dreams of L.A. are great. It's saying more than that, and also, the way it's using all of those things to kind of get at this point is what it really, that ending kind of just validates everything for me in the movie. Like, it all feeds into that. So, I mean, yeah, some will just say, like, oh, it's a fluffy movie, then it has a really good 10 minutes. No, I think that those 10 minutes recontextualize everything and make it a stronger experience, and that's why I think it is a great movie, and it is something that people should seek out and see on the big screen if possible. I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't really know. Are you a big musical person? Is this something that, a genre that you really care about?
I love music. I grew up being, like, a band geek. So a lot of the, like, their conversations about music and their connections around music really resonated with me in previous relationships I've had surrounding music. But watching musicals is not something I've usually enjoyed doing. Well, they're kind of annoying.
Well, the flat ones are, and I, you know, and I would say I'm not, you know, I've of the classic old Hollywood things, I've seen the big ones, right? But I would never characterize myself as someone who knows all of that, and I don't love all of those. I don't have a soft spot for those as much as other things. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even coming at it from like, well, I love these movies of the past, but I'm also, I don't think I'm like, I've never seen this before, because I think the obvious inspiration is pretty apparent in that. But to me, yeah, I would rather see, I think this is a kind of a new take on this. I don't know if it can be replicated or it can be done in another way, but I think when I see something like this, and I see something like this year's Sing Street, which is also a musical that does this similar kind of thing really well. When I think of Once, which was the same director as Sing Street, these are what I want to see from movie musicals. I want to see these really...
Well, they naturally involve music. They're not just like randomly breaking into songs.
Right. I mean, and that's the other thing. That's the strength of Chazelle's other movie, Whiplash, is that it is about musicians, and it's about... And that's kind of like the harsher aspect of it, but... It helps to have these people passionate about what they are doing, and then you get to have their experience, and it helps sell the music, I suppose.
It's not just random and...
So, you know, go see La La Land. I have a feeling when we record our top 10 list, it will probably be on mine. I don't know about you.
But... I don't know. There's a lot of great movies I saw this year.
Like Bad Moms?
Like Bad Moms. Neighbors 2.
Oh, boy. Those are the two you saw without me. I've caught up on Neighbors 2. Well, thanks for listening. We will check in with you soon again.
And go see La La Land.
There you go. Have a good one.
Film and Art Speak is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime. At SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Have an entertaining day.
Washington is the most trade-dependent state in the country, but our regulatory process for trade and infrastructure investments has sadly become longer and more uncertain, jeopardizing our ability to lead the way on trade. Keep Washington Competitive, a business and labor coalition, believes that by fostering a regulatory environment that provides certainty and encourages investment, we will ensure our state is positive to thrive. It is paramount that our lawmakers and regulators work together with business and labor to sustain our state's vital trade industries for future generations of Washingtonians. Learn more at keepwashingtoncompetitive.com. If you're like many shoppers, you love to find a deal online. Or you shop online because it's so convenient. And you probably know thieves love to go online, too, to try to steal shoppers' credit card information. When you're shopping online, you can start protecting your credit card information by investigating the website you're shopping on. Make sure the online retailer lists a real phone number and a physical address. Read the site's privacy policy and search for reviews and ratings of the retailer. You can read more about safe shopping online at STCU's financial education blog. Go to stcumoney.org.